on speakerphone now?
Yes, we are. We're talking. I'm sorry?
Can we make it?
Is that how we're going to start this?
Huh?
I said, is that how we're going to start this?
Well, sure, why not? It's always good to start when you're naked.
Okay. Well, for anyone who might be wondering who I'm having this conversation with right now, it is Jewel Shepherd, the lovely Jewel Shepherd, who most of you...
We're naked.
Are you naked right now? Is that what's happening?
I am.
Oh, boy.
I'm sitting in front of the computer naked talking to you.
Well, you heard it here. Jewel Shepherd is naked on the Vault of Horror. My G rating is officially done. But, hey, it's fine with me.
Put me on the racks, baby. Put me on the racks. Stretch me out.
Where was I now? Okay. Return of the Living Dead, right. Most of you probably remember Jewel from the role of Casey, Return of the Living Dead, which, contrary to most readers of my blog, contrary to what you may think, I am also a big fan of Jewel's. It's not all about Linnea.
No,
so.
You're not. You're only a big fan because now I'm telling you, I'm totally naked in front of you. Well, not in front of you. I am actually in front of you. I'm on your Facebook page. I'm staring at your photos here, and my breasts are right in front of your face.
Uh-huh. Which is probably not all that appropriate, but, you know, there's only a few hundred people a day that will listen to this, so it's really not a big deal.
There's another one. Oh, my nipple's getting hard. Okay, go ahead.
I know I had questions to ask you, so we might as well get into it. Yes.
Oh, you want to get into it? Okay.
Yes. Once again, this is Jewel Shepherd saying these things, not the very married B-Sol, a.k.a. Brian Solomon.
Oh, now you become so married. Oh, the story to you where you're so married. Like dead people. Okay, so what do you want to know about dead people?
Well, before we get into that, I see that you're originally from Brooklyn, which I am also originally from.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, it wasn't that bad. What makes a Brooklyn girl decide to go out to California and become a famous horror movie actress?
I think the word Brooklyn, and then there's a beach in L.A. I think that right there says something. Don't you? Brooklyn, L.A. Brooklyn, L.A. L.A., big famous movie stars, you know? Nice Malibu beaches. Brooklyn? Brooklyn.
Yeah. So when did you go out there?
Brooklyn. Oh, you know, 5 years ago when I was just a wee child.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on, this is, like, dumb. Let's not talk about this. Let's go back to, like, other stuff, like dead people and naked, you know, and my breast being hard and I'm wet and I'm staring at your photos and that sort of stuff.
Okay. We can definitely do that. Return of the Living Dead. Should we talk about that?
Yes, Return of the Living Dead. Okay, so I started as Casey.
Yes.
Blue-haired, I want to party, and can you tell that it's totally character-oriented for me? I like to party.
I'm getting those very subtle hints, yes. I'm definitely getting that vibe.
Yes, well, let's see. Dan found me in a strip joint. The director, Dan O'Bannon, found me in a strip joint when I was taking off my clothes, and he had a girl to be naked to play trash. And I told him, you know, listen, Dan, I'm always naked, so, you know, maybe you can hire me with my clothes on. And that wasn't exactly Dan's, you know, he didn't exactly enjoy that idea. But he was really cool, and Linnea came along, so Linnea didn't mind taking off her clothes. And so I got to keep the clothes on, and he said, well, if you're going to keep the clothes on, we'll have to make you look really like crap.
Oh.
I said, fine. And that's basically how it was. And we're all pretty much cast the way we are in real life, like Beverly Randolph, who plays Tina, is... truly the good girl in real life. I mean, she's one of my dearest friends, and she is truly that character. And everyone in that movie are truly those people. And sadly, I am truly a party chick.
Well, you have probably one of everybody's favorite lines in that movie, which is the sex and death line. Do people quote that to you?
Yes, and I have to write it down in all those conventions I do and stuff like that. Why do you want me to say the line? I'm not going to say the line. You mean like fuck off and die?
All right, you just made my day, but I didn't ask you to do that. But thanks for doing it anyway. But so you were originally then considered.
It's such a weird line, like fuck off and die. Why would you want like fuck off and die? I mean, I want you. Well, I mean, if I killed you because you were fucking me that much, then you could die. But you fuck off and die. Let's do the deed. Let's see if it's any good. Let's do it for a long time and then die.
Well,
you're always better off after the fact. Why like push the guy away before he's even doing anything?
Yeah, but you do that the entire movie. That poor guy.
Oh, I know. What is wrong with me, man? I am so easy in real life.
I thought you said you were like your real life character in the movie. Like, apparently not.
Okay. I'm not.
That poor guy, and then, you know, you're just ripping him apart, and then finally at the end you have your little tender moment where you want him, where you're crying in his arms.
Scenes, you'll have no idea. After that tender moment, I threw him down on the ground, I fucked his brains out, and the zombies came back and killed us before the government did.
Oh, see, now that's a well-kept secret. Nobody ever really knew what happened to you guys. We assumed that you got incinerated, and now this is good to know. See, now everybody could keep...
We got some sex in there before, you know, got
Now, what was the deal with, I'm praying that was a wig that you're wearing.
That was a wig.
What was the deal? I mean, I saw Linnea on the DVD talking about how she wanted to use her natural hair, and they made her wear this big red wig. I mean, how did you, did you have a choice?
No, because it's punk rock. It was the big punk rock time period. So, you know, that's, unless you were willing to cut your hair like Brian did.
Yes.
And Peck, who actually cut his hair into a mohawk and became that person, Scuzz. Pretty much, you know, everyone had to go ahead and wear a wig. In fact, Tina literally had to dye her hair. She's originally blonde, and she had to dye her hair black.
Okay.
And I was a blonde at the time, and, you know, it was hard. I mean, it's hard, like, when you want to see yourself as an attractive person, and then you sit there, and there you are. And not looking, I mean, looking different. But on the flip side, I mean, I walked up and down the theaters when it first came out, hoping to get recognized, didn't get recognized. I wanted to, like, say, I'm in this movie, please, here I am. And.
Well, it's because of the hair, right? But, I mean, let's get this out of the way so that it's not, I know you're teasing me about it, but the Linnea thing,
I know you just have this hard thing for Linnea. I know you're just hard for her.
Well, everybody knows this, but we don't need to dwell on that. But,
I know some secret magazines of Linnea.
Well, I don't think they're that secret. I also know some secret magazines of you. As well.
I don't think they're so secret. Well, I put them out there.
No, they're not that secret. But
I post them myself, so I don't think that they're really that secret.
That's not a typical route that a lot of young actresses take, to be honest. Especially nowadays, it seems like the actresses now in horror movies and otherwise, they seem to be a lot more finicky and squeamish about doing things like that. Why do you think that is?
Well, because back then they had, I mean, that was magazines, is how you made your money. If you had no, you know, you had no job, you know, nothing.
Mm.
There were these agencies that said, here, you can be, you can have two lines in a movie, you know, as an extra or that sort of type of thing. And there was a lot more movies made back then, but they always involved nudity. And so it would just be sort of the magazines were there and available. I mean, Penthouse doesn't exist anymore, and you know, all those magazines don't really exist anymore. And so, therefore, you know, that's why people just don't do them. I mean, you think we really wanted to do them because, oh, my God, I just have to take off my clothes for $200, eight rolls of film? No, it was, you know, primarily you needed to put food on the table, you needed to pay rent, and that's how it happened. And there was these agents in Hollywood that kept on telling you it was okay and everyone's doing it.
Mm.
And that's how you kind of get there. And then people start, you know, then there's like two lines in such and such a movie, or there's an extra part in that movie or something like that, and it starts building up. And then you end up starring in these crappy movies at that time, but they weren't really crappy in comparison to this day and age, which, you know, there is really crappy movies.
That's true, and there's not enough nudity in them either.
Yeah, and they don't, you know, I mean, they miss the fun of it, because, well, you could be naked and have fun. I mean, you know, what are those, Screwballs, all those kinds of movies? I mean, they were naked and fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now you get naked, now you, you know, it's like when you're doing horror, you have to kill the bitch. Kill her good. Wise her up. Like, make her, you know, I mean, what's fun with that other than if you just hate women? I mean, having her eaten by a whole bunch of dead people, I think it's far more interesting if she's, you know...
Right.
You know, then you have to kill these people. You have to, you know, come up with a more graphic way.
Well, you know, that's a good point, actually. I think that back then there was a lot more fun to the horror movies, whereas now, yeah, there seems to be, like, this angry male kind of thing going on. Like, all the guys that couldn't get laid in high school now want to make movies where they just do all these horrible things to the actresses. I don't know if that's the situation, but it seems like it.
I definitely agree because, you know, yeah, I definitely agree with that, because look at the Fright Nights and all these other things of that time period, and the Ghostbusters. When we're talking about scary things, it was always with a humor.
Yeah.
You know, and nowadays, it's like, you know, the women cannot survive a horror. Even the Friday the 13th and everything, you always had, you know, the chick is going to die, you know, but it's like, you know, here she was, she's a nice girl. You know, and the guys liked her, even when she was slutty, but she was a nice girl. Now, I mean, they just kill you.
Yeah, and I mean, even in Return of the Living Dead, you know, I mean, you, for all intents and purposes, you survive to the end. I mean, we don't, you know, we know what happens at the end, but, like, we don't see you die. And even in the case of Linnea, even though she dies, it's in such a way that she's still able to be sexy, even as a zombie. You know, she's not, like, torn apart or anything like that, so she's still able to come back.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, they just want, I mean, look at what you got on TV. When you keep on, you know, you have all these visuals out there and stuff, and you have to try to be better than that, try to be better, and body parts are blown away. I mean, to me, it's like, you know, and there's wars out there for body parts to be blown away. If you want to actually see it, go to a war. You know, I don't want to see it on the movies, but that's what, you know, that's what's out there. And I like stories, and people are more interested in how well can you blow up a body. And I'm, you know, hey, give you a roadside bomb, then we can really shoot that.
Very true. Well, I know you have limited time, so there's a few other things I wanted to touch on real quick. I don't want to hold you up, and I know there's lots of other things that you have to get to today. But first of all, put your clothes on, but other things besides that.
Wait, what do you mean I'm going to put my clothes on? Don't you know I go to Costco naked? Please.
I would, you know what, I'm having a hard time with comebacks here, but second of all, I would probably almost believe that, but anyway, I wanted to ask you.
I do put on lipstick, fine, I do put on lipstick.
Oh, just maybe eyeliner too, or no?
No, just high heels and lipstick.
I was going to say, at least high heels you have to put on.
Yeah, well, you gotta look good when it clips off across that concrete floor, you know?
Yeah, I'm just going with this. I figure I'm definitely getting divorced after this anyway, so I might as well just, you know, say whatever I want. Yeah, so I was reading earlier today about a very interesting piece of fan mail that you once received. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that and who it was from?
I can know from Ted?
Yes, your fan Ted.
Ted, used to write me, I guess he must have read something. I used to be a writer for many, the EP news service and other news organizations, and he must have read something I wrote, and he ended up writing me a long letter about people he didn't like, and, you know, I thought at first it was kind of cool, and then, you know, I would reply back, you know, in a certain way, and then he just kept on writing me, and so we became pals.
And just for the record here.
It's Denver prison right now.
Well, yeah, just for not sorry to interrupt, but just for the record, for those who haven't had the benefit of researching you on IMDb, we're talking about Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber here, who is possibly your number one fan. Which, and how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm not a professor, so I don't have to worry about it.
So, I mean, did he talk to you about your movies and stuff? Was he a fan, or how?
Yeah, it was always lawyers now because, like I said, I wrote for the AP, I wrote for Reuters, I wrote for lots of different news organizations. Uh-huh. So I think it was something that he found, one of my political point of views, and then he went off on something about the economy and something about how he didn't like how certain teachings were going on and mathematical equations and stuff like that that had to be involved with the universities he was involved with. And so, you know, we would have this conversation about education. And he went on, and then he just felt the system was wrong. And if you read any of my blogs or anything like that, when I'm being serious, and not my little cute, campy, naked blogs, but when I'm actually being serious, I write about serious things that are happening in the economy and about situations in life and how I feel about education. I appeal to certain people that are either fanatical or fun or, you know, want to see me naked. I don't personally care because I like everyone, and I don't have a problem with people having their opinion voiced to me. I don't take it one way or the other. I just accept everyone has an opinion, and as long as you keep it in check and you don't knock in my door like last year's Machete fan.
What happened?
Some guy decided that he wanted to kill me and came to my door with a machete.
Whoa.
Gave me flowers and then tried a machete in my door. Yeah, I mean, there's sometimes, you know, those guys I'm not really into.
No. I can't. No.
Those guys can stay home. But, you know, there's various fans. I've had fans that, just, you know, they look me up in some fashion. That's why I always have to have it changed. I have it all under different corporations and stuff like that. But they find you on the internet, and then they show up at your door. And some are harmless and truly just want to give you flowers. Others want to kill you, and others want to shoot you. And others, you know, I mean, they range from all different types. And I've had my door macheted in twice because they thought it was cool.
Well, see, for the record, I just want everyone to know who's listening then, just take a mental note. If you ever meet Jules Shepherd or if you're looking to score, do not bring a machete. That will not work.
Flowers are okay.
Flowers will work. Flowers and machete, no. Machete without flowers, definitely not.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different, things like that happen. It's very bizarre. It's from different, I'm not saying it's like a person that's loose in the head because actually they're not. I mean, the last person I did last year was from MIT, and it was a full graduate program. I mean, there's another guy that to this day sits outside one of my houses in his car. I have a restraining order against him, exactly the restraining, you know, length of distance, and he sits there in a car and watches me. And I have another fan that bought a house, you know, a block away from one of my old homes, and just so he could watch me through his telescope.
That is insane.
It isn't. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like when you're really famous, like a Paris or those types of people, you know, or you go out and you cannot go out of your house. But, I mean, as long as they're safe, I mean, they're over there and they're safe and they're not going to do anything weird to me. I mean, I'm already all over the internet. I don't have an issue with that as long as you kind of direct it to my site, like my YouTube site or, you know, whatever it is so I can profit off of selling naked photos of myself. I don't have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to, you know, do something harmful to me or try or something or believe otherwise of some fantasy thing, then that's, you know... I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
How did the writing thing come about? How did you get involved with doing that?
Just I like to write, and who better to write about than myself? it was just, you know, the opportunity came there. A lot of people kept on asking me to write for different magazines because of my career and write about things that only, you know, happen in B-movies. And then I started getting picked up by Esquire, and I got picked up by Premiere, got picked up by Details, and then literally 500 magazines later about writing about, you know, cheesy little movies, they offered me a column, and then I got a column, and they offered me a regular AP job, and they offered me as a foreign reporter, and... it just sort of kept on going, and then I started writing books about it, and then the more I got out there, it just sort of happened, it just mushroomed, and so now that's actually what I'm doing right now. I have two more books that I'm writing right now, and, Well, it's not an exciting life or anything like that. I just joke with you on being naked, but, well, I am naked. That's not really a joke. But, you know, I mean, I'm many different things. Like, I think anyone in this world is that you can't judge a book by its cover, you know?
Right.
And I am one person, if you've seen Hollywood Hot Tubs, you know, you think of me as that way. If you've seen the naked photos from my younger days, you'll see me as that way. I mean, if you happen to read my heavy-duty political articles, then you'll see me as that way. So it really doesn't matter. I mean, you see my silly little video things that I do shoot for myself and my girlfriends. I mean, that is all of me, and yet it isn't all of me, if that makes any sense.
No, it does make sense. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't be one way all the time. You know, nobody is. But
people are complicated. But, you know, but because of the society, and when you look at movie stars or you look at somebody that has a certain amount of fame, in my case, you know, a very small amount of fame, but a certain something, and then you tend to pigeonhole them, well, like, you know, we're totally dead. Like, you just, you know, Linnea Quigley, oh, she's great, she's naked. But, you know, she's a complicated person.
Yeah.
Just as much as I'm a complicated person. I mean, we have different... They're just different things. And I guess what I really want to part with this and all that is that, you know, no one's just one identity. You know, no one's just one thing in life. I mean, and no one, you can be many things in your life and you don't have to just stick in one hole. There's nothing telling you the thing, hey, you just stay there. You can just be a B-movie actress. You can just be a writer. Well, no, you can be lots of things in your life. If you choose to work hard enough, if you choose to go ahead and be assertive, if you choose to go ahead and pursue things, you can be everything. I mean, we live in a world that you can become everything if you know how to do it right and you just focus. And a lot of people lose that. They have this impression that, you know, they want to just be a movie star or whatever it is. And if they can't achieve it by the time they're 26, well, their life is washed up. Well, that's not true. I mean, there's beautiful things to every part of somebody's life, and you just have to embrace that.
Well, you're definitely proof of that, honestly. So I mean, that's definitely advice worth taking. I know you got to get going, but is there anything that you'd like to mention that you're currently working on or that's coming up in the future that you might want your fans to know about?
I'm just doing the little silly videos of my girlfriends who have been in other B-movies, like Monique Parent and Kelly Maroney of Night of the Comet fame and last Night of the Comet. And, you know, just stuff like that, just trying to build up more like a little tiny, I guess, webisode type of things that I kind of want to do whenever. And then hopefully there's a site that comes along and wants to brand me and pay, you know, some small amount of bucks to basically give me pleasure of, like, doing my little webisodes. It's just more of a hobby than anything else. Like I said, I write books.
Well, there's the YouTube channel also, right?
Yeah, so it's to be Jewel Shepherd.
Okay.
B, you know, as in B movie star, Jewel Shepherd, and that's my actual thing. And I do run it, and yes, I try to answer everybody back. But, you know, it does take time, please. You know, sometimes it takes me months because I literally get 200 emails in a day on each of these different sites, whether it be Facebook, MySpace, whatever. I do try to get back to you.
Well, you do have a very interesting Facebook page. Definitely a lot of good reading material on there.
Yeah. Well, I like to, you know, that's the whole thing of I enjoy about Facebook. They don't particularly enjoy me. They delete me all the time.
No.
For various reasons. But
I have no idea why they would do that. I have no idea why they would do such a thing.
They delete me because my pictures are too provocative. They delete me because I'll say something that gets 150 comments that are too aggressive. They delete me because I'm not family-oriented. They delete me because I am too family-oriented. They delete me because... I mean, you give them the reason to delete me, they delete me. And but it's okay because it just, to me, it's okay that it's today, and in a couple of weeks I may pop back up again and we'll be up and running and we'll be doing fun things again. And I like to talk about different things. I like to have people have their opinion, and I don't care if you know, I mean, for me personally, you can not like what I say. I don't erase any of it. You can like what I say. I just, you know, I don't have a problem with any of it.
Well, I like everything you say, for the record. I like everything you say. Let the record show.
Well, thank you for you, but what I'm saying, there are many people that have disagreements. They have very strong opinions, and I think it's really wonderful that they do have strong opinions. I think that it's an interesting way that they can have this dialogue on a site, and to sort of, I like to moderate it or mediate it, whatever, however you want to verse it. You know, I like to talk about many different things. I just don't care about movies. I like lots of different things.
Right.
So, and that's, I think, what you see on the Facebook page. And the YouTube page is, you can see that however my mood is, you know, at whatever the moment is. I put up little silly things there, too. It's the same kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, it's very silly.
Yeah.
Lots of silliness. I would love to do another one of these soon, because I definitely have a lot more questions. I could keep you here all day, but I'm going to let you go. And, Jules Shepherd is now going to go shopping, grocery shopping naked.
Naked at Costco.
At Costco, because they got a lot of great deals there. You know, it's important. You can get the giant pack of toilet paper, with no clothes on.
You know what's really important to me lately is going across the street to my little old, this little old man that lives across the street. He's 84 years old, and I like to flash him.
Ah, okay. Are you trying to?
He likes to sit in front of the window. He's got this big picture window, and he always has this little wheelchair there, and he sits in front of it all day long. And I've always thought, you know, God, what is he looking at? And then so one day I decided to flash him to see if I got a reaction. He did. So now every day around 4 o'clock, I go and really flash him.
Well, you are just an angel of mercy, Jules Shepherd. God bless you. I hope one day when I'm that age that there's a woman who flashes me every day.
I mean, and he gets pretty excited. I mean, he gets all prepared. So he's, you know, I mean, he does. It's very funny. It's almost, I have to shoot it one of these days, because it is, his reaction is he waits for me to come by, and if I'm out of town, he's very upset. I have to leave him a little note saying I'm going to be out of town. So he doesn't get his hopes up.
That is both sweet and twisted, and I love it. I want to, that's a perfect note, I think, to end this, and I want to thank you very much for giving me some of your time, in all seriousness, to talk to us here on the Vault of Horror, and I hope you will forgive my many, many comments about Linnea Quigley and understand that I also have tremendous love for Jules Shepherd as well.
And passion.
Yes, passion.
Passion.
Yes, and, Yes, and to my wife, I've always loved you, and please be kind to me in the settlement. Okay. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.